This ninth chapter of the Gospel of Luke is jam-packed. We heard a little bit of it last week for the Feast of Corpus Christi when we heard about the multiplication of the loaves and fish. But there's this sending out of the disciples. There's these questions that come from Herod. There's the annunciation that Jesus is going to suffer. There's the experience of the transfigurations. He takes the disciples away to be on that mountain. He reveals the essence of who he is. There's the disciples struggling to make sense of all of this. And then here at 9:51, there's this definitive change in the whole nature and ministry, the character of the way that Jesus is ministering. Until this point, everything has been happening up north in Galilee. Everything's been fine. It's been great. Everything's been wonderful. The crowds have flocked to him. They want to hear him. They've been changed and transformed, healed. There's so many people that are being transformed by the presence and ministry of Jesus. But he knows, as wonderful as that is, that there's something more that he needs to do. And so in this decisive moment at 9:51, resolutely sets his face towards Jerusalem, towards suffering, towards the passion that he will have to experience. And he goes along this way. Luke will remind us five more times that he's on the way to Jerusalem. He will mention that this is a road trip a number of other times, because this is this really significant part. So many of the parables that we'll hear over the weeks ahead happen during this road trip, during this experience of Jesus inviting the disciples to this deeper sense of following and what it means to be caught up in the wonder and the beauty of God. Of course, there will also be the initial experience of the sufferings, as these three individuals who say, "Yes, I'll follow you, but demonstrate for us." And the problem is, we love that. You know, we love saying, "Yes, I will do whatever it takes, except this one thing, except that little thing." And we know that the reality of that in our own hearts, in our own lives. You know, we say yes to God wholeheartedly, but we claw back this and that, and we bring it all back and say, "Well, I don't really want to give everything to you." But he's inviting us to fully surrender, to embrace this way of life and this gift. And sometimes that comes with profound challenges. That final line of the gospel tonight always kind of sends me into a bit of a cold chill. Because when I was a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Sydney, and I realized that that wasn't the way that I was meant to be living my life, and I wanted to have some time to explore other possibilities. And so I had to go and to present myself to the Cardinal at the time, Cardinal Clancy. And thankfully, a dear friend, a priest, had warned me that, you know, guys who made the decision to leave the seminary, that Cardinal Clancy at that point always quoted this line of Luke's gospel at them. So at least I knew that this was about to happen to me. But even so, to be there before a prince of the church and to have him look at me and to say, "Richard, you know, the one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom." And to hear that message of condemnation, it seemed, to shame me into that experience. And I thought, I didn't say anything to his eminence at that time, but I realized that no, this isn't what this is about. I remember as a child, kind of, you know, I would go out mowing the lawn, and we had such a big property that we'd often just mow tracks as well. And if I was just looking down at what was happening immediately around me, the track would always go skew. If it would just go all over the place. In order to mow straight and clear, I would need to set my eyes at some fixed point on the horizon and always look towards that and go in that general direction. That was the only way that I would end up where I needed to go. It's not about just looking back in this sense of regrets. It's about that abandonment of the whole sense of the kingdom. To Cardinal Clancy's credit, many years later, I ran into him again, and he remembered that incident, and he profusely apologized to me, saying that wasn't appropriate to say that to you at that time. And, you know, to his credit, he was able to recognize that. But for us, we need to continue to remember that this is about giving everything to God. This is about that full surrender of our hearts and our lives to the Lord. And it will come at a price. There will come a cost that we need to face and that we need to embrace. But it comes with this freedom. As St. Paul tells us in this wonderful opening line, it's been one of my powerful verses, Galatians 5:1. For freedom Christ has set us free. So do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. You know, he wants us to experience that freedom, not about shame, not about compulsion, but this freedom that we come in love to respond fully to the call and the message of the Lord. That's the invitation that we receive tonight, to embrace this with such joy and such delight, that the God is always inviting us to surrender, to give a little bit more, to be sacrificial in what we offer to our God. So indeed, we're invited to follow the Lord. What a beautiful invitation that he gives to us, that he trusts us. He expects of us nothing less than surrendering to him, because he knows that he will give everything that we need to be able to be faithful to that. So tonight, let's indeed embrace this call and offer our hearts once again to following the Lord, to serving him, and to being faithful followers of the way of the kingdom.